Well, I have to believe that this dream was from God. And in the dream, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but it felt like it was two things, kind of like back to back. And I almost feel like it was a closing out of like a beginning and ending. And what I mean by that, I feel like Jay-Z was like headlining a show. And I remember it was like, he like, like, to me, it just seemed like he was trying to make it seem like he's the head honcho, like in the rap industry, like he's the main guy. And he really wanted to solidify that. And which is interesting because I remember seeing like a clip where Dame Dash was talking about Biggie stole all of Jay-Z's raps, and they did a comparison like of all the songs that Biggie did that had the same lyrics of Jay-Z. But I grew up in that era, and I could tell you that's definitely not the case. If anything, it was Jay-Z that was stealing the lyrics from Biggie, because I remember Biggie was out before Jay-Z. So there's absolutely no way that Biggie could have stole anything from Jay-Z when Biggie's music came out before Jay-Z's music came out. So it's just ludicrous and ridiculous that that can even be said. But that's what people do. They try to change history. Anyways. Oh. So I remember there was some female performer, and these people were just nasty. Like this female lady that was, she was a rapper, I guess. And I just remember watching her, and I don't know, man, like her whole energy and her vibe was just garbage. It was just real nasty. And nothing about it seemed like, I don't know. It just didn't seem right. And I remember seeing that they were like reading like comments from the audience to like try to make it feel like the audience was involved in what they were doing. But it just didn't seem real or authentic in any type of way. It just seemed forced and unnatural. But it's just kind of the way of that the world is, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, all this was going on. And, sorry, I'm just waking up and I'm really tired. I want to go right back to sleep. But, so I felt like Jay-Z felt like everything was polished with his act or whatever. And I don't know if he was like closing out the year with like a performance and then he was starting the new year with another performance. But I knew these two performances were like back to back. And I didn't see Beyonce there, but I did see this other lady. And she kind of gave me like a MC Light. I don't know if that's the girl's name or not. That's a little bit before my time. The female rappers like Queen Latifah and all of that. But I think that was what her name was. But it was kind of like that, where she had like kind of like an aggressive, like alpha male vibe for a female. and it just wasn't, she just wasn't feminine, you know what I mean? Like, she was just like aggressive energy, like a dude. And I wasn't feeling it, and you could tell people weren't feeling it, but you know, you're in the audience, so you're just going along with it because she's a presenter. So it's almost like she was doing the introductions for Jay-Z. And I don't know how that's important in a dream or anything, so we'll have to see. But usually God gives me like prophetic dreams or whatever. And sometimes they're like years in advance, sometimes they're not. Now, I feel like, you know, we're under that 40-day warning from the eclipse. And, you know, God's judgment is on the way this month. So I think they're like May 15th or May 17th. I think it's May 17th. Or something like that would be 40 days from April 8th. So, not entirely sure, but I know that God did give me a dream where he was coming to the earth. And I remember, I posted it on here, but I remember that I was by a school. Either the school was being built or it was, the construction was paused or something. I don't remember. I have to try to find that episode. I was super unorganized, so it's just like, I don't know if I'll be able to find it or not, but it's on here for sure somewhere. And, but yeah, I see God. I seen his army first. I seen his army descending from heaven. All white army. And it went for miles and miles and miles before I finally seen God and Jesus. And they were two separate, you know what I mean? It was God the Father and Jesus. And everybody was standing and moving and marching. God was the only one sitting down on his throne, you know. And he wasn't moved or nothing. The dude was firmly planted, comfortable, and he was on his time for sure, you know what I mean? But he was coming. But it was like a huge line, miles and miles of his soldiers, his army were coming ahead of him before I even seen him. And then even when I seen him, he had more coming behind him as well. So he wasn't at the end of the line. He was just probably somewhere in the middle, or who knows, because you know, after I seen him, I wasn't really even paying attention to all the army behind him. But he was coming for sure, and Jesus was next to him, and Jesus was happy, you know. And God was serious. God had a serious look on his face. Like, God was really about business. And anyways, back to the dream. So in the dream, I was in the audience. And I remember I was sitting at a table, and there was a whole bunch of gangsters around me, older gangsters, black guys, and they were all in really nice suits. I mean, these were like your old time Harlem Knight type gangster dudes, you know what I'm saying? And they were jovial, you know, they was lighthearted and good mood. You could tell they all had money for sure. You could tell they had money because they were really, really nice suits, like tailored suits, you know. And clean cut, you know what I'm saying? Polished shoes, cologne, jewelry. And I'm sitting at the table with them, and I knew, like in a dream, like I knew I shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? So since I knew I shouldn't be there with them, I knew that I had a mission, and this has been a reoccurring thing in my dreams. And really throughout my life, I've always been one of those people that at the last minute, I get it all together. Like always right at the last minute, right at the deadline is when everything culminates, it just comes together for me. And I'm not really that type of person. Like, honestly, like I do try to get ahead of, you know, the game and start preparing for things well in advance. So I'm ready when it's time for that. Like, I'm not like a last minute type of person, but it's just because life is always hammering at me, you know, with distractions that inevitably, even if I start trying to prepare for something, I get knocked off track. But I always have bits and pieces here or there or whatever. And then just like right before the deadline, like a couple days before the deadline or the day of the deadline, I'm able to put it all together, you know, and present it, you know, whether it's my rent or whatever. Even though my rent was due yesterday and I've been kind of upset because I gotta just be transparent, you know, like people always say, like, you know, God's not late, he's right on time. And I never want to speak out against God, but I don't really know how to say this, but that's not really true in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, God doesn't deliver for me. Like, no money just manifested out of thin air for me to pay my rent, because my rent has not been paid. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying this in any type of way to try to gain sympathy or get donations or none of that. So please don't try to send me any money or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, ideally, I gotta shoot it straight to people that's listening, that I don't want to lie to people. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to do that. Now, there's times that God has came through. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to make it seem like he doesn't come through. Like, sometimes he does come through with like a healing. But I can't say like God has completely saved a day in my life for all of my needs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a toothache, the tooth hurt for a while. I prayed for God to heal. He didn't do nothing. I had to go to a dentist. And then, you know, went through a lot of pain with the dentist and it was still hurting. And I was praying about it. And the pain subsided a little bit. It did eventually go away, but then another area started hurting and became painful. So that's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, God didn't come through on the rent. All right. I had to call my landlord and ask for an extension. They didn't want to do it. You know, they have to reluctantly. They don't want to do it, but it's just like, you need to hurry up and pay it. You know, you got to pay it. You know, we can't really give you too much grace. You know, it's due on the first. You have to pay it on the first. Okay. I've had like an impeccable history with my landlord. Like, I can literally count on one hand how many times I've been late, and it's really only been, I think this is the second time, honestly. Like, one time I thought I was late because when I was on a lease, it said that I actually had to the second to pay it. Which is strange, because a lot of people tell me that on their leases, they always got to the third to pay it. But my landlords, I'm pretty sure, you know, when I looked at the lease, it said, no, it's due on the first, but, you know, you could pay it on the second. After the second, you know, it's a $50 late fee or whatever. So I paid it on the second, and I gave them a $50 late fee, and they never gave the $50 back. And even though I checked the lease, I'm like, that's messed up that they wouldn't say something. Because I couldn't find a lease at the time. So I paid it on the second with the $50 late fee. They never returned the late fee, you know. And to this day, I want to bring it up and mention it to them. But it's been years since that happened, and it's just like, what's the point, you know? But it just lets you know who you're dealing with, you know, in this world. And they're Christians. They go to church, you know, but that doesn't mean anything, you know. I'm telling you, God sees all of this stuff, you know what I mean? And it's been taken into account. The angels are watching it, you know. This is such a sin-filled world that doesn't seem like a big deal here, you know. Here it's just like, well, you're the stupid one that sent the money. We're not going to tell you that you messed up, you know. Thanks, we'll keep it. So, but that's a lot of money to me, you know. $50, that takes, it's a long time for me to come up with that. But anyways, back to the dream. The thing is, man, my whole thing with God is that I get tired of the fact that, like, I'm always telling him, like, dude, your word says, like, I shouldn't have to tell God what his word is. You know what I'm saying? And my whole thing is, like, I'm sure there's 50,000 things that I've done to offend you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for existing. That's pretty much my prayer every day. Like, I don't want to exist. You're forcing me to exist against my will. I'm an unwilling participant. I don't want to have nothing to do with any of this. I didn't sign up for this. I don't know who in their right mind would ever agree to do this. Who wants to gamble their eternity? Who even wants to go through a life where you're going to be scrutinized and judged for every single thing that you do? I mean, I don't want that type of pressure. No, thank you. There's nothing here that's worth it for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only thing that can make sense is you're here to win souls for the kingdom. But it's not like we all grow up. I just watched this video yesterday of this kid. I think he was like a 10-year-old violinist prodigy. And I think they said he was playing Vivaldi or something like that. I think it was like V-I-V-A-L-D-I. I don't know. I don't know nothing about that type of music or whatever. But he nailed it. You know what I mean? Like, his performance was just amazing. And he was performing it in front of like this orchestra, and everybody in the orchestra, even though they were playing along with him, there were times where everybody was just looking at him in just amazement, you know. This little kid just amazing, bro. He was a prodigy, you know. And they had his link, and so I clicked the link, and then when I went to his page, he's like a teenager now. You know what I mean? So I was thinking this kid was like 10 years old when I was watching the video. And then when I went to his channel, he's grown. Which you might be wondering what that has anything to do. Everything's connected. There's no coincidences. So I posted an episode of this Chinese kid, or this Asian kid, I'm sorry, who had a dream. And he was talking about, you know, the end times and the rapture and the tribulation and all of that. And he was like, I was a teenager in the dream. And he's like, I'm 11 years old right now. And so I'm thinking like, man, well, he's not going to be a teenager for at least 2 years. Technically, you'll be a teen at 13. But you could be a teenager all the way up until 19, right? So then that means you got an 8-year window. That's what I'm thinking. You know, so if he's 11 now, I'm pretty sure the video was just posted, you know, this year, like maybe even a couple of days ago, you know. So, I mean, like, you know, within 8 years, yeah, the rapture and the tribulation could start. for me, that's a long time because of the hell that I'm going through every single day with the devil. You know what I mean? And it's just so much that I don't want to keep going. Like, there's not a day that goes by that I just don't ask to not exist. Like, I'm so serious. And I don't think anybody understands why I feel the way that I'm the way I feel or what I'm going through, because I just don't see people expressing themselves the way that I express myself. Like, yeah, I see, you know, people like, oh, I'm ready to go, I'm ready for Jesus. I get that, you know, but my whole thing is like, dude, I don't want to see judgment. Like, people are talking about they want to see Jesus. Like, do you really want to see Jesus? Do you really want to see God face to face, where you're going to be completely petrified of the judgment, you know? And I talk to other people, like other Christians, and, you know, everybody's got the way they interpret things. Like, oh, you're not going to go to judgment. You're going to the Bema Seat judgment. You're going to go get your rewards. And it's just like, you know, I'm glad that, you know, biblically that's what you think. But I don't interpret it that way. Face to face with God, who knows every single sin that you've committed, every sinful thought that's been in your mind since you've existed, that's petrifying. What drives me even more insane is the fact that I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to think sinful thoughts. I don't know which thoughts are from the demons or what thoughts are mine. You know, I don't even know what God's saying to me half the time. Like, I'm just keeping it 100 with y'all. Like, I meet a lot of people like, God told me this and God told me that. And even when I started this episode, I'm like, I believe God wants me to share this dream. But I don't know. I don't know. It's not like I woke up and there's an angel standing next to me and he's like, God said you need to record this dream right now. Like, that didn't happen. I'm winging it. My life, I'm winging it. I'm out here winging it, trying to figure this stuff out. And all of the research and studying that I've done is that when you die and you go to hell, at that moment, everything becomes crystal clear of why you went to hell. At that moment is when it becomes clear. It's not clear now. That's what I'm saying. It's not clear to me. So maybe I'm different compared to everybody else. Like, I'm a Christian and I would still backslide and watch pornography and defile myself with masturbation. I'm abstinent. I don't have sex. I'm not in a relationship. But that has been one of the problems in my walk with the Lord. You know, loneliness. And it's embarrassing. Nobody wants to admit to that. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to. I don't care, because I just don't care what anybody thinks about me, period. And in this world, that's hilarious to people. Like, they know that that's not even a big deal to people. To me, it's a huge deal. It bothers me so much. You know what I mean? Because I have every intention of not doing that. And going as long as I can without even thinking about doing that. You know what I mean? But the devil is always working, you know, and the devil's working through people and through women, through, you know, encounters and women saying things to you. And it's out there. You know what I mean? Like, it's unavoidable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even want to get into details, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of times where I'm like, I'm just calling them whores. I'm just so sick of these whores, because I'm just like, they're everywhere. And it's all sexual with them. You know what I mean? And I think, I don't know what people think, you know, but I think the general consensus is that guys are like the horn dogs, right? Guys are the ones that are out here, you know, thirsty, trying to come after the women, you know, or whatever. And it's like, do you see the way the women dress? They know what they're wearing. You don't think they looked in the mirror before they walked out of their house or their apartment? You don't think they know that they're wearing extremely tight yoga pants that outline the whole contour and shape of their body? You don't think they know that? You don't think they know they're not wearing a bra? That there's things that are showing through the fabric? You know what I'm saying? So that they're not wearing a lot of perfume or makeup. I mean, it's not like they're not trying to be seen or noticed. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, maybe they get offended because of the attention that they get, and they try to treat guys like they're disgusting, you know, for being turned on by that or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, God knows what's going on, and at the end of the day, everybody's going to be judged for they're going to be judged for, you know, that type of stuff. Guys do it too, you know what I mean? Guys are running around with their shirt off, or, you know, trying to wear sweats or stuff like that to try to show off their private areas. And, you know, it's a sexual culture. It's disgusting. Like, I mean, I need my vision because I have to see, but, and I appreciate having my vision, but some things are just unavoidable. Like, there's things I don't want to look at, you know what I mean? And, like, yesterday, I was pulling into a parking lot just to chill for a second, just to pull over, you know, and I wanted to check my phone or something like that. And when I pulled in, I see like 10 people sitting in their cars in a parking lot, all on their phone. And I'm like, I'm just the type of person that doesn't want to be around people. Like, I don't like being around people. I just actually try to stay away from people because they get on my nerves. And like this right here, right? And this is why I know it's the devil, because I just turned the volume off for all of this stuff, and it's still going, and it's still making noises. So it's like, cool, well, how do you, there it is right there. All right, no more notification sounds. Like, I tried to turn the volume down, and it's like, oh, there's four volumes on my phone. Okay, I'm not used to that, but anyway, I'm going to get back to the dream, but I pull over somewhere, and then I literally see some dude, like, walk in front of my car. He's lifting up his shirt, rubbing his stomach, and then he starts adjusting his private area, and he's just looking at me with his big gay smile on his face, and I'm just absolutely appalled and disgusted. Like, that type of stuff made me so mad. Like, if I had a paintball gun, I'd shoot the dude in the face. Like, I get angry over stuff like that. And I know you're not supposed to be angry. You're supposed to be a happy Christian skipping down the street, picking up daisies and praising the Lord and Savior. And I get it. That's the type of Christian you're supposed to be. It's difficult for me to be that Christian. All right. There's too many demonic attacks that I deal with all day long, every single day. Like, I want to sleep, and God's waking me. God's giving me dreams. It's just like God harasses me. He harasses me. And why do you think he's harassing me? Because he needs laborers in the field. And if he can't get other people to go out there and spread the gospel and win souls, he's going to harass the ones that are trying to be obedient. So we're getting all of the work. We're getting all of the orders to go do stuff because nobody's doing nothing. That's why I'm being harassed. At least that's my belief. You know, and sometimes I just snap on God. And like I said, I backslide. And it's not like I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm just saying, screw you. Screw you. I know I'm being rebellious. I know I'm backsliding. And I just don't care because I'm so disgusted with the pressure and the harassment. It's like, oh, God, I've been praying for 6 hours for you to stop these demonic sexual thoughts because I'm trying to work. 6 hours I'm praying, praising, worshiping, fasting. Every day I'm listening to spiritual warfare and fasting. Every day, the first half of my day is straight to Jesus. And it's still nonstop. All there's no breaks. It's like that all day long. And then when I get home, it intensifies. And I'm so exhausted, and I still got other stuff to do because working is just working to be a slave for my landlord and my bills and all of that stuff, you know. So I have to be a slave. But then on my downtime, I still have to be a slave for Jesus and for God because you don't want to go to hell. And then you're like, well, you know, that's a works-based salvation. Your works are like filthy rags to the Lord. Like, that's the rebuttal that I always get. And it's like, screw you. I'm only doing the extra work because I don't want people to go to hell. That's why I'm doing it. So if you want to tell me that's a dirty rags or whatever, that's between you and God. I saw a pastor the other day talking about Christian rap and Christian rock music is not of God and God doesn't like it. And that, I don't know what he was saying, but he was basically the dude's an idiot, period. Cause the first thing he quoted, John, I think it was like 2 John 2:15, if I'm correct. Or 1 John 2:15. I don't know. I can't remember. But I think what he was quoting was basically that, you know, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Which just is completely stupid considering that he just said it was Christian rap and Christian rock and roll. Like, if you didn't put Christian in front of it, that would have been a correct statement if you just said rap and rock and roll or whatever. But the fact that you said Christian rap, Christian rock roll, and then he put Christian rap again, I'm like, this dude is an idiot. I'm not following him. Sorry, Lord. I'm not trying to judge him, but that's demonic, him even saying that. Because you got to think, who is this guy to make a statement like that? Since the beginning of time, people have been making music. You know what I mean? People have been praising and worshiping God. And when you look at songs, I don't care what type of song you look at, it's all in a rhyme format. It's all rhyming. All music is rhyming. I'm a musician. I know. Okay? I don't care if you play me a country song. I don't care if you play me a rock and roll song. I don't care if you play me a rap song. Whatever type of song that you play me that has lyrics, those lyrics rhyme. Who do you think is the rhymer? God is the best rhymer ever. The best rapper ever. You know what I mean? He's the best everything ever. So who do you think is helping you, helping musicians and artists to put these rhymes together? Of course you're going to have demonic influence. That's always there. But God is doing it too. God is a rhymer. I couldn't tell you how many people that get messages from God and they come in rhyme form. You got Edward Umling. All of his messages, he's an older white dude. He's always rapping. That's a rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might not be putting no music to it, but the words are rhyming. And there's this other lady I've been posting lately. She's rhyming too. I don't know who it is, if it's Dean Up or who it is, but it's one of those ladies that I post, and she's rhyming. So, I feel like, man, this dude needs smacked. Like, I'm sorry to be so aggressive with it, but I'm just so irritable. I'm so irritable, you know, right now. It's just a lot, man. Don't worry, I'm going to get back to the dream. But I was just going to mention, there's this game that I was playing, that Valheim or whatever. I haven't played it this month because I'm trying to really get focused on God. That was part of my backsliding last month because God wasn't answering prayers. He wasn't backing up on me. He put so much pressure on me. And I found out why. I had 3 million Spotify impressions last month. In the last 30 days alone, this podcast has only had 1 million plays. 1 million plays, that's it, right? So for me to notice that, when I noticed that it said 2.9 million Spotify impressions, and I'm like, am I looking at this correctly? How do I have 1 million plays but 2.9 million Spotify impressions? So I hit my dude up and I'm like, man, I don't even know what that is. So he Googled it and looked it up for me, because, you know, I drive for a living. So he sent it back and it was like, that's how many times your podcast has been searched in 30 days. And then right after that, it went to 3 million. So I'm like, wait, so my podcast has been searched 3 million times in 30 days. It just makes me think, you know, of that 40-day warning from the eclipse, you know, the sign of Jonah. And do I believe that the rapture could very well happen this month, in the month of May, within like 2 weeks? Yeah, it's possible. But somebody like me and other, you know, believers that have been following a rapture for a while kind of wore out, you know what I mean? Like, cool. I mean, but there's days I'm outside looking up at the sky and it's like the rapture could happen right now, and I would probably still look at it like, yeah, cool, nice, man, good for you, Jesus, you know. Because that's how exhausted I am. That's how wore out I am. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to exist. Like, I don't care. Like, ooh, you're doing a show. You're doing a song, a pony dance. Woohoo. Finally, Jesus is here. Yay. You know, I know this doesn't seem like, I know people don't get me. They don't like me. Like, I don't like me. Like, I get it. I don't like myself, you know, and I know other people don't like me. Don't you see? It doesn't matter what I say. Somebody's always going to be offended by me. Somebody's offended because I just said I don't like me. That's a word curse. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when you live your life where everything you do offends everybody, no matter what you do, what's the point of existing? I'm not here for man's approval, but I know God is judging me, period. So I'm not super thrilled to go in front of the court, to go into the courtroom in front of the judge. That's why I don't want to exist. I don't want to play the game. I want out of this death trap, this hellhole, because you're set up here. That's what people don't understand. We are set up for failure. And every single aspect, the way you look at it, you are set up for failure. But just so you know, this is just me confiding, because I'm literally talking to myself right now. Like, there's nobody here. I'm just speaking into the microphone. Right? So let's go back to the dream. The whole thing with that kid that I clicked on the picture, and now he's a teenager, and it was literally 1 second because I clicked the button and I was looking at a 10-year-old violinist. I clicked the button and now the dude's like 19 and he just dropped the album. And I'm like, wow, that really was quick. And the first thing I thought of was the podcast. I mean, the episode I posted yesterday where the Asian kid who was also like 11 and said, in this dream, I was a teenager when I went to heaven. And he was like, don't you understand how fast that is? He was like, it's going to be that quick. So that was the whole thing that I thought about when I saw that. You know what I'm saying? And all this was the other day, yesterday I was walking in. It doesn't matter where I go. Like God, that's what people don't understand. God knows everything, every single thing, this exact thing that I'm, this podcast right now, every single thing that I'm doing all day long. He's always known everything. You cannot escape this dude. He's unescapable, inescapable. If you want to escape him, he created a place called hell. That's another reason why I panic, because I don't want to be around him. Like I'm trying to get out of whatever this is. I don't want to have nothing to do with existing. That's my problem. I don't want to exist. I'm trying to avoid him and hell and reality and people and everything. Because I don't want to be conscious. Like, I just don't want to exist. I just can't. It's insanity for me. That's why I'm miserable. You know, like, I can't even begin to describe the depression and misery that I'm in. The torture that I'm in. Because I don't want to play the game. I don't want to know that as soon as I get done doing this, that I'm going to do something that's going to be considered a sin so God can judge me. And I got to try to remember to ask for forgiveness for everything all day long, all the time while I'm doing it. And people are like, well, why would you backslide? Why would you? It's because sometimes you just don't care. Like you when you are trying to escape, if you're trying to really escape something, you don't care how you escape it. For example, all those people that jumped out of the towers during 9/11, the heat was so much in those buildings, they jumped out the window to their death. And there's photographers that have pictures of those people jumping out of the window to their death. That's what's going on with me. Of course, it doesn't seem logical. Of course, it doesn't seem like common sense that you're going to jump out of a window from the 115th floor of a high-rise building downtown. But that fire so much that you just need to get away from it, and you're not thinking correctly. That's what I'm going through. That's how much pressure, anxiety, and harassment that the devil is putting me through, that it makes me mad at God because he's allowing it. And since God is allowing it, it doesn't really matter. Because it's like, I don't want to sin, but you won't let me die because you're so anal about the fact that you want somebody to go out there and spread your gospel and do the work that you want to be done because nobody's doing it. So you don't really care that you're harassing me and putting all the pressure on me to go do it when I'm already doing 15 things for you. Got like 20 different types of stickers in my pocket that I'm sticking up every single day, all day long. And I'm trying to minister to every single person that I meet, like in every aspect, all day long. You know, if I'm not physically talking to a person, I'm sharing a podcast episode. I'm sharing on social media. Like I'm trying to minister. I'm trying to minister. I'm trying to minister. I'm trying to wake up souls. I'm trying to wear my Jesus clothing. Like I'm trying to hit it from every angle. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out. Just the other day, I walk into this restaurant that I normally go to eat, and I see a man and a woman holding hands praying. And I'm like, cool, finally, I'm starting to see something. It's rare, because usually I'm the only person that's praying at a restaurant. I don't see nobody praying before they eat. So I'm like, cool. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's get some more believers out here. Do I know who they were praying to? Were they praying to Allah? Were they praying to some other God? I don't know all that. I just seen somebody praying and I'm like, cool. Hopefully it's to the right God. You know what I'm saying? A few minutes later, like I go sit by him just because I'm like, you know, I want to be around believers, you know? So I went and sent close to him, but not too close to where it's creepy. And this dude's like yelling the whole time in the restaurant. I did this, and it was some type of about business, you know? And he was just real loud. He was so loud, the whole restaurant could hear him. Like, he was not using the quiet praying voice. When they was praying, I couldn't even hear them praying. He was holding his wife's hand. At least I think it was his wife. I don't know the details, but he was holding this lady's hand and they're praying. And it was quiet. I couldn't hear anything. But as soon as they got done praying, he was loud talking about the business or whatever. I don't know what that means. Maybe that means something to somebody out there. I don't know. But it was annoying, you know. And then I regretted sitting over there by him. Because now I'm like, well, I was trying to pray. And I'm like, I can't even pray me pray. Because this dude's talking so loud about his business and this person, that, and that. It wasn't like, I didn't hear any cussing or profanity, but he was just speaking loud, you know? So anyways, back to this dream. I'm sitting at this table and I'm with all these gangsters, you know, these older black dudes. And, you know, you could tell they feeling themselves. You could tell that they're successful with their worldly endeavors or whatever. And, you know, everybody enjoyed Jay-Z's performance and, you know, they love Jay-Z or whatever. And I'm like, man, what am I doing at this table? And I knew there was somebody else there with me. I don't know who it was, but I'm pretty sure that they were a believer. And then I'm like, well, I don't got time, so I got to get to work. So I start talking about the rapture. Like, yeah, you know, the rapture this, rapture that. And so, you know, people, these gangsters, I mean, there's probably like, I don't know, 7, 8 of them, you know what I mean? So, you know, most of them ain't feeling it, you know what I mean? So I would say probably like out of the 8 dudes, like, 7 of them was just like not feeling what I was saying. The one dude was, you could tell he was kind of listening because he was looking at me and he was kind of like shaking his head a little bit, like, go ahead, keep talking. Like, what's the point? What are you trying to get at? You know what I mean? And so I know I was like, I'm talking to him, I'm talking about that or whatever, the rapture, and you know, just how I normally talk to people about the rapture and stuff like that, you know, and then, and, you know, his dude kind of chimes in as being skeptical or whatever, like, you know, making it seem like I'm the crazy one or whatever. So I reposition myself in my chair, and this dude's on this side of the table where I'm sitting. So I turn and start looking at him in the eye, and I start talking to him about it. And I'm not backing down. I'm super confident because, you know, I live a street life too, and, you know, I ain't no pushover, you know what I'm saying? Like, I speak my mind, I don't back down, and I'm aggressive, and, you know, I've always been the type of person, like, if it's a problem, then it's a problem, let's get bloody. What's up? We ain't even got to talk about it. You want to go there? Let's just go there right now. Let's just go. Like, what's up? I'm ready. Is you ready? And a lot of times, people don't want to go 0 to 60. They want to go to 0 to 5, 0 to 10. Sometimes they'll go 0 to 50 to try to see if they can get you to back down. You know, so they'll turn it up real quick on you. But if you don't budge and you're like, cool, let's go, then they'll usually back down, or you already banging, or you already into it. So that's just like my experience growing up with people. You know what I mean? Like, I always been ready to go to 60, and, you know, sometimes you find out. Sometimes they ready to go to 62, and then we banging, you know. And even while you banging, sometimes they'll tap out in the middle of fighting. They don't want to continue fighting, You catch them, good a couple times, you know, and they feel the power. They're like, nah, I'm cool. We good. Like, oh, calm down, killer, you know, or whatever, you know. But I don't know. Like, even when I fight, like, I don't give up. Like, it's never really me giving up. Now, maybe when I was younger, like when I was a kid and I was still in school, that those times, yeah, because I just chopped that up to adolescence and being a kid and not just not being a man, you know what I mean? And just not, you're just a kid and you know, you're still getting beat up by your dad, you know what I'm saying? So you're kind of in the mode where you're already not going against like authority already, you know what I mean? Because that's your dad, you live at home and you can't be acting crazy in front of him. So, but once like I moved out when I was like 15, 16, I think, so, or going on 16, and I knew my dad didn't care about me, you know what I mean? Like, I knew my dad didn't want to have nothing to do with me, and he was happy for me to move out, you know what I mean? He was like, cool, go, get out of here, good riddance, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was like the happiest day that I think was my dad. And my dad always just had this kind of disgust and hate in his heart for me that I noticed at a young age. Like, he just didn't like me. So, you know, and he kidnapped me from my mom, so I never got to meet her. So I was pretty much screwed anyways, because I really, you don't have anybody, you know what I'm saying? And I remember ever since I moved out, like my dad always treated me like he didn't want to have nothing to do with me. So I never wanted to ask my dad for nothing. I never wanted to ask him for help because he was very standoffish. And even up until his death, because I had to move in with him right before he'd passed away because me and my wife split up because she was cheating on me. And he was telling me he didn't want me there. Like, you need to get out of here. Like, you need to move out. And I'm like, man, I just got here. I just got here. Like, it hasn't even been a month, man. I don't know what to do. Like, I think I'm trying to work it out with my wife. We're going to counseling. He's like, nah, that's not going to work. You know, I talked to her. That's done. You guys aren't getting back together. You need to figure something else out. So, I mean, there was times where I was in the shower just bawling, crying because I just didn't know what to do, you know? And it was just like, I think when he heard me crying in the shower, it made him think of when he split up with this lady Brenda, where he had two sons with. And I remember seeing my dad when I was a kid, curled up in the fetal position, like a little baby on the bed, wailing and crying when they split up. And I never ever see my dad like that, 'cause I always see my dad in a powerful position. So when I seen him broke down, like when I seen that a woman could do that to my dad, man, I don't know. I never really had a positive outlook of women, you know? Like, even my sister, like, I seen her do really horrible things to dudes. You take advantage of guys, and you know, my sister was a player, I guess. That's a polite word for it, you know, when she was younger. And I mean, I don't blame her for it, you know, because, you know, my dad neglected both of us as kids and she got raped a lot. So, I mean, people are the way they are because of the life that they live. So you can't really judge nobody, you know what I mean? So you have to look at everybody's point as valid because everybody's point is valid. It's never just one person's way. Like, it's never that in this life. It's never that. Everybody is guilty. That's how you have to look at every situation. Everybody is guilty to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? And then some people just give up, and the other person just takes advantage and they become more guilty. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's always different. It's just different things. But Anyways, so I'm around these dudes or whatever, and I'm not backing down from this dude, and I'm talking to him about the rapture or whatever. And I'm starting to win these people, win them over a little bit. And I start going back to the first guy I was talking to, because I didn't want to give up on him and I didn't want to ignore him, because this guy chimed in to try to distract. You know, because I know the devil's tactics, distract and divide and conquer. So I'm like, cool, I respond to that dude real quick and went back to the first dude. Like, yeah, back on him, hammer time. You know what I mean? The pressure, just putting it on him and making him think about all these things. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, how I normally minister to people. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know, the food's this, and the water's this, and then this is X, Y, and Z is going on, and this is going on, and they're doing this with the technology, and then, you know, they're doing CRISPR and, you know, human genome editing and splicing. And I know I'm hitting valid points with all these things. And I got the first dude to basically say that he's willing to get baptized, that he wants to give his life to Christ. He wants to sign up, basically. You know, it's like, if I'm a salesman and I'm pitching these dudes, I got the first one. He's biting. He wants to get baptized. Now, the second dude that chimed in, he starts asking me, like, man, his dude next to him, he's like, man, I got the problem, man. And his dude's like, I told you I took care of it. That's what I do. And I'm like, you know what's funny, man? I'm like, I grew up robbing dope boys my whole life. I robbed drug dealers, and I did that too. And I'm like, I could tell you, man, ain't nobody going to take care of the situation but Jesus. And he's like, huh? And I'm like, man, don't worry about that, dude. And I'm like, just give your life to Christ, get baptized, repent, turn your life on this gangster lifestyle. It's not doing nothing for you. You've made your money. You're successful. You know what I mean? Get out right now. It's time to get out of this gangster life right now. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to get baptized. I'm going to drive you guys to Cincinnati. I'm like, my dude's got a church out there. They do baptisms on the spot. It's a far drive. I mean, y'all down for it, I'll take you there. You guys can drive there. So, like, by the end of the dream, I had, like, three or four of, you know, this group of eight dudes, like, almost half of them, at least three of them, that wanted to go get baptized and get their life to Christ. And then I woke up, you know. And so I'm like, cool, success. Because I feel like in my dreams, that's what God is always trying to get me to do. Is to share the gospel in the dreams, just like he wants me to do it in real life. Like, I was just sharing the gospel with this lady the other day, and she's like, I haven't talked to God in a while. And I'm like, well, you have to talk to him today. Like, you need to talk to him. Just ask him to forgive you. She's like, yeah, but I don't have to, because Jesus died for all my sins and it's already taken care of. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, he told the lady that was about to get stoned to death to go and sin no more. He doesn't want us to sin anymore. We have to stop sinning. We have to really try. She's like, I can't. It's too hard. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, I backslide all the time. You know, like, I might not use profanity. She was cussing. And I'm like, I use profanity in my thoughts. And I'm like, if you heard how I think, I might not, like, be cussing outwardly. But if you heard the way that I think, I'm cussing like a sailor in my mind. You know what I mean? And it's all day nonstop. That's why I said I don't know if it's the devil or what's going on in the thought realm. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get a hold of it as best as possible. The only thing I could do is just stay distracted with, like, praise and worship music and the episodes that I post on here. And I don't even post 10% of what I listen to. You know what I'm saying? So it's just when I can think of trying to share it is when I try to do that. But I don't, there's just a lot that I'm not getting onto this podcast. You know, I'm trying. I got other things to do. Like, I got to pay my bills. Like, I need to go right now. I've already been on here an hour and I need to go to work because my rent was due yesterday. So, and I got all the new bills that I'm getting hit with already yesterday. And they're like, oh, pay your cell phone bill. And I'm like, damn, man. I extended my cell phone bill to the 8th. Why the hell are you telling me to pay it on the 1st? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I'm wore out. My car insurance went up $50, right? I did get back on welfare, but they doubled my pricing, which really makes me mad because my the bills that I was getting when I got kicked off of welfare weren't the price that they just put me back on welfare at. Anyways, it cut off when I was talking, but, you know, I'm complaining, so that's a sin. This is why I go crazy. Because the only thing that you have to get stuff off your chest is to talk about it and to vent about it. But then that becomes a complaint and it becomes a sin. That's why I always got to say, please forgive me for existing. But really, shouldn't you forgive yourself, God? Because you created me? I don't know what hellhole or death trap that I got myself into. I don't think I got myself into it, because if I always existed, I don't understand. How do you always exist? And the only reason I say that is because I remember when I asked God one time, why exist? I heard, why not? And then I was like, I'll tell you why not. And I just went on and on and on. And I'm like, I don't want to exist. And then I felt like I got the thought that I've always existed. Now, was that God talking to me? I don't know. I assumed it probably was, but I assume incorrectly all the time. We all do. So I don't really know what the heck is going on here. But what I don't like is, from all the research that I've done, is that when people die and go to hell, everything becomes crystal clear and it's too late at that moment. That's why I don't think this is fair. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Well, we study, but we know that the Bible has been changed. I mean, look how many different versions of the Bible that they have. So nobody can say that it hasn't been changed. According to, you know, my research, the Hebrews Bible has always been the same. But who speaks Hebrew? You know, when I was watching that kid violinist, I was thinking, I wonder how he grew up. I wonder if he had money. He seems like a good kid. I meet people all the time that have money. Like, I meet wealthy people a lot. And they seem very well put together. They seem very articulate, soft-spoken, well-mannered, not angry. And I'm like, I don't know if they believe in Jesus, but I bet that's what Jesus is looking for when the rapture happens. Those type of people. That's why it seems impossible for me to make the rapture. Because I'm always angry. I'm always irritable. I'm always complaining. I'm always tired. And you name it, you know. I get thoughts where there's days like, I will murder everybody. I want to stab everybody. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Sorry, Lord, forgive me. Sorry about that. Not right away, you know, maybe 15 minutes later, hour later, 2 hours later. When I finally can get a break mentally from the spiritual warfare, from all the mental attacks, the demonic thoughts, when that finally lets up, I have a couple seconds to get a breather, to think clearly, to ask God to forgive me, and then it starts up again. I'm attacked more than I'm at rest. I don't really get any rest. That's why I'm so irritable. But you're not me. I'm not you. So I don't really know what you're going through. I can tell you what I'm going through, and it may seem crazy to you because you don't go through that. But thoughts don't stop. And that's what drives me crazy, is thinking. I want a break from thinking. You know what I mean? From being conscious. And I don't even know if I'm saying things correctly. You know what I mean? That's the problem. Like, there's no words that really describe the way that I feel. I'm trying to use the best words that I can use. But basically, there's no peace. There's no rest. Oh, but the Bible says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Oh, cool story. Sounds good. I wish it were true. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can attack the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, I know scripture. I can point out all kinds of scripture and really go to war against God. But it's just easier for me to not exist, to ask for non-existence. And it's just like, dude, do what you do. That's like when I was growing up, I seen my dad being a hypocrite. I seen him lying. I see him contradicting himself all the time. There's times I pointed it out. He yelled at me. He got mad at me. We were arguing. We were fighting. I eventually just gave up. Like, dude, just do what you do, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you paying the bills. You know, it's your house. I'm your son. I know there's bad energy between us. I know you don't want me around. And I'm going to try to leave as soon as I can. And, as soon as I hit 16 or whatever, I was gone. And my dad was like that until he died, He didn't have a lot of fight in him once the brain cancer really kicked in. Like, that kind of took over and he became really weak. And it was, he had to fight to just stay cognitive before he lost his mind or whatever. But it was tough to see him go out that way. And I love my dad. So I felt bad. I cried for him a lot. I had to forgive him. Because he was not only was he that way towards me, but because he was that way towards me, he convinced other people to feel the way that he felt about me. So they felt that way about me, like my brothers. My sister was the same way, you know what I mean? To this day, there's that wall between me and my sister, me and my siblings, the same wall that my dad had up between me and him, that same wall is there between me and my siblings. I can't change it. It's different, like if we're face to face, I don't really see that wall there. But as soon as we're not around each other, that wall goes right back up real quick. Out of sight, out of mind. That's exactly how it is. And my sister, she's always chiming in with weird stuff. Like, her nephew just left here and went back to their state, and he was driving there. He wanted to go on an eclipse, and I'm like, man, don't go on an eclipse. Go the day after or the day before, And he went or whatever, and I was like, well, keep me updated. And he didn't keep me updated. So I was a little worried. I just wanted to make sure that he made it there okay. Man, I'd like to go back to sleep, but I really gotta work. Anyway, he never hit me up, man. He just ghosted me. So I'd hit my sister up. And she said, thanks for checking on me too. And I'm like, what? I didn't even feed into it because I know how she is. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, hey, I was just checking to see if, nephew made it back there all right. And she's like, oh, thanks for checking on me too. And I'm just like, what the f-? You know what I mean? I'm like, you don't check on me. Like, you moved out of the state that we live in. As that's a whole nother story. Like, I don't even want to get into that. You know what I mean? But she moved completely out of the state. And I remember when she did come visit or whatever, and she brought my nephews, and I was trying to hang out with my nephews and play with them or whatever like that. She brought him into the room like, don't talk to him. He's not in your life. Matter of fact, go back in there and ask him who he is. Be like, who are you? I heard her say that to them, and then they come back into the living room and they're like, who are you? What's your name? And I'm like, what? Why, you know my name? We was just playing 5 minutes ago. So that's the type of person she was and still seems to be. So it's been difficult, you know. And I don't get along with her husband because he used to beat on her. But I'm the enemy, right? So I guess that's how abusive relationships are. Your dude's beating on you. I don't like him because of that, but you don't like me because I don't like him because he hit you. How does that make any sense? Maybe next time he punches you in the face or he beats you up, maybe you'll understand that I care about you and I don't want my sister getting beat up by a grown man who takes steroids, you know? So it's not like he's a little dude. Like, he's injecting steroids, so he has big muscles. Little short dude, big muscles, and then he wants to beat up on my sister. But my sister's mad at me because that's her husband, you know. Whatever. I can only pray, you know, pray from a distance. I love her. That's my sister. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see her hurt, but I'm not the enemy. I'm your brother. So, but, you know, she's got this dude in her life, and now your brother is nothing to you. And now you're in a whole different state. Whether he wanted to move or you wanted to move, I don't know. I'm guessing both of you guys wanted to get out of here. You know what I mean? Or you wouldn't be there. I mean, my sister's pretty headstrong, so I don't think anybody's just going to force her to do anything. But she is a woman, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I just mean that she has qualities about her to where she will be submissive out of love because she loves her husband. You know what I mean? But the younger version, the one that I knew, because she's a different woman now, she never let any dude, you know, control her in any type of way. So, yeah, I know one time she called me. I guess she called all of her brothers and she was having like a nervous breakdown and I called her back and she was calling me my brother's name. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is your real brother, you know, because the other brothers are her half brothers, meaning they got different moms. So I really am her real brother because we got the same mom and the same father. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going through this or whatever. So I was like, oh, well, I guess she's upset that I'm the one to call back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, let me try to get off here as soon as possible. I don't want to upset you anymore. You know what I mean? I'll say a prayer for you. I don't believe in Jesus. All righty. Well, you know, good luck then. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a Christian, so that's how I handle my problems. I'm like, cool, let's just pray about it, you know, let's take it to the Father. But different beliefs, you know, she's a Buddhist, so what can you do, you know? And I was ministered to her son, and he actually seems like he's starting to pick it up a little bit, because I was telling him things like, man, every time you sin, you're opening up legalities for demonic attack, you know, stop sinning. And don't let the devil get a foothold. And I know it's easier said than done because I still struggle, you know. But it really is in the mind. It really comes down to, are you going to let the devil talk you into doing stuff that's going to help him have power over you? That's really what it comes down to. Are you going to allow the devil and these demons to trick you into doing things that are going to give them more power over your life? Salesmen that are trying to sell you things, that might be trying to lock you into like a cell phone contract or lock you into making payments for something, they have no power over you until you sign on the dotted line. Now they got you. Now they lock you into a contract. Now they got legally binding agreements to where you have to pay a certain amount of money every month or whatever, because they locked you in, because they were harassing you, trying to hit you from all different types of angles to sell you on something. And they know they're pressuring you. They want you to give up and just sign the contract so they will leave you alone. And they will leave you alone if you just sign the contract. If you do what they want you to do and sign that contract and purchase that boat or that car or that house or that necklace or that entertainment center or that scooter or that bike or whatever it is that they're trying to get you to buy, you know, they'll leave you alone until they want to sell you something else. I've been looking for new car insurance and they harass me every single day now. And I am going to try to find new car insurance because I don't want to be with my current car insurance provider because I just signed up with him and I just switched over to him because I was already paying too much. And it hasn't even been 6 months and now he's charging me more than what I was paying before I came to him. And I told him, like, you're disgusting to me. I told him, like, you're disgusting to me because you know that I came to you paying this much. You lowered it by $40 or $50 so I could sign up with you. And then you raised it more. So now I'm paying you more than I was paying them. You're disgusting. Oh, it wasn't me. It was statewide. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. You think I'm stupid? You think I don't know that you can keep me at the same price? Because you was already making a profit. I think these insurance people think we're stupid. No. Who cares if they raise the state price? You can still keep me at what I was making or what I was paying, and you'd still be making something. You might not be making what you were making, but you're not losing any money. You idiot. Sorry, Lord. That's a judgment. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. This is my life. All day long, I got to ask for forgiveness. So I don't know what type of Christian you are. But this is my torture and my insanity. That I completely realized there's something wrong with me. That I have to ask God to forgive me every second of the day. Maybe I think I should ask for forgiveness for that right there, right? Don't you? Don't you think I should? Hey, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for saying what I just said about complaining about having to ask for forgiveness. Even though I didn't create myself, even though I've made it blatantly clear that I don't want to exist, that I'm a prisoner, that I'm being forced to exist against my will, that I'm an unwilling participant, I don't want to have nothing to do with any of this. I do not want to exist. But although I'm being forced to exist against my will, I still have to ask for forgiveness for existing because I know that I'm unacceptable to a perfect God. That there's so many problems with me that I have to beg him for forgiveness all day long. That's insanity. And I'm sure it seems insane to anybody listening to it. What the heck am I listening to? What podcast is this? What did I just click on? Like, what is this craziness? This dude's insane. Change the station, honey. I don't want to listen to that. Find something else. I get it. Well, welcome to my world, all right? So, yeah. I'm going to go back to my misery. I'm going to go back to my torment and my torturous existence. And actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to sleep. Because I've already asked for the extension to be able to pay my rent today. So, I'll just have to work later. Because I need a break already. I just woke up from a dream because I didn't want to dream. I wanted to sleep. I wanted to have some rest, but I can't sleep. I can't rest because there's no breaks because that's the type of God we have. There's no timeout. It's just straight go mode because he's awake. Because he's awake and alert 24/7. I guess we have to be too. Remember, God created us for his pleasure. So all this torment, suffering, somebody's getting pleasure out of it. It ain't me. I can tell you that much. I don't have a choice. I'm a slave. And they say, oh, Jesus died, you know, for us so we could be his friends. Oh, cool. I cried the other day for Jesus that his father sent him here to go through that. I really felt bad for Jesus. Like, I'm sorry, man. I don't know what's going on, man. You know better than me. I had a human father, so I really don't know. I mean, I think we're a lot different. God is your father. You know, I had a human father, I had a human mother. You had a human mother and a God as a father. So I guess that's why you were able to live a sinless life. You obviously knew more. You obviously knew what the game was. We don't know what the heck's going on. We're all trying to figure it out, but obviously you knew what was going on. So, you know, kudos to you for that. But we're just different, you know? And I know you didn't want to go through the crucifixion. I know you didn't want to go through any of that. I know that you prayed so hard that you were bleeding and that you were tortured so much that you were disfigured. And I know you suffered, and I cried for him. You know, I felt bad for him and just got more mad at God. I really want to say that I love God. I really want to say that. And I really don't want to say that I hate him, because I know he's going to judge me for saying that I hate him. So I just say that I hate that you made me. So hopefully I can get out of a legality of judgment. Because I'm not saying I hate you. You do what you do. I'm not going to judge you because that's a sin. You said it's a sin to judge because you're the judge. You're not going to judge yourself because you're the judge. You know, a boss of a company could do whatever he wants. He's the boss. He's the one that fires and hires people. Can't nobody fire the boss. If the boss says, hey, this is my restaurant, nobody can eat the food here, but I can eat the food because I'm the owner. What can you do? I mean, it's your company. It's your restaurant. You own everything. If you don't want nobody eating the food, but you can eat it because you own it, nobody can do anything about it. So if God's saying nobody can judge but him, I mean, who's going to judge God, right? He's perfect because he says he's perfect. He could change everything. He could change your thoughts. He could change everything. So, I mean, I don't think people really realize what we're up against here. How dangerous it is for me to speak and think the way that I do. But at least somebody can hear it, and they won't be in trouble for maybe even agreeing with how I think about the situation. I've never met a Christian that does, though. You know, most Christians, they get scared when I talk like this, and they kind of just want to get away from me, and they're probably asking God to forgive them for even listening to me. So if that's the type of Christian you are, cool. I don't want to exist, you know, and probably going to go to hell anyway, in my mind. I think I am. So, for what it's worth.